Hey everyone, and welcome back to this episode of Too Many Trailers. I'm Marianne.
And I'm Kelsey, and this is the podcast where we talk about movie trailers. I feel like we forget to say that every single episode.
We really do. Even when you were just like, this is the podcast where we talk about movie trailers, I was like, do we need to say that? And I was like, I guess we actually probably should.
Especially if people are like just jumping on the bandwagon.
This far in.
Yeah, actually.
Which is fine. Maybe we should make that our 2019 thing.
Oh my god, it's our goal.
Getting on the bandwagon?
Should have been jumping on the bandwagon, but I said getting on the bandwagon.
So instead of let's jump right in, we're jumping on the bandwagon.
We are 2 months into 2019 and finally deciding on something new.
Oh my goodness, so can you imagine the beginning of every episode and I'm like, so let's just jump on the bandwagon.
I want to cry.
We'll take it under review.
Yeah, it's under review for now.
Yes.
Anyway.
All right, so we have, this is a bonus episode.
This is a bonus Oscars edition.
Wow, thank you with the formal voice.
You're welcome.
So we reviewed pretty much every trailer that was an Oscar nominee.
Yeah, which I'm really proud of ourselves for doing.
Right? When I was looking through the Oscars list, making sure we didn't miss anything, I was like, oh my god, we've done almost all of them.
Yeah, and I think we're saving one for a regular episode, If Beale Street Could Talk. But after that, I think we pretty much hit it on the nose for most of them, I feel like.
Yeah, we're covering Cold War and Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Yes.
And there's a few other smaller ones that got nominated for one thing.
Right.
But this is, we've done everything that was nominated for more than one.
Yeah, at least Best Picture we've covered, at least Best Actor, I want to say, maybe?
Yes.
Yes.
We covered all the major categories.
Yes.
And we covered everything that got nominated for more than one award.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Let's just pat ourselves on the back.
Let's take a break to pat ourselves on the back. I love it.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, so especially because this is a bonus and I feel like, you know what? It's impressive.
It is. Go us. Wow.
Self-positivity. Self-podcast positivity.
Self-poditivity.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god, I'm gonna delete that. Yikes!
Anyway,
let's...
jump right in.
Jump on the bandwagon.
This is gonna be the episode title, I can feel it.
Oh my god.
Jump on the bandwagon.
All right. So we're going to start with Cold War.
We should do some behind the trailer facts. So Cold War is nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Foreign Film as well.
Dang.
Raking up those awards.
Nice work.
Yeah.
For a foreign film.
Yeah, especially because not
a lot
of...
nominated for Best Picture.
Especially because not a lot of the times foreign films are not nominated for main categories. And this one, Cold War and Roma... mm-hmm. have been nominated for more than just outside of
outside of the foreign language.
Right, so they have Best Director, Yalitza has been nominated for Best Actress.
Yes.
And Best Picture in foreign film. And there's more for that too.
Right.
Doing a lot with my hands.
It's fine.
Back on track.
Anyway.
So the director is Pawel Pawlikowski. The writer is also Pawel Pawlikowski and Jansuez Goldacki. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you. Trying my hardest. The cast includes, it's a very small cast. I think they're on Internet Movie Database, there's credited 38 people.
Okay.
I believe.
Mm-hmm. The director also worked on Pawel Pawlikowski.
Mm-hmm.
Has done some other foreign films, but he also did a film called My Summer of Love, which is a teenage lesbian movie with Emily Blunt.
Oh, really?
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it.
I'm sure you have.
our gay part of the...
Oh, yeah, we always have.
The composer for this episode is Marcin Maseki.
Mm-hmm.
He, again, was not listed on IMDb as the composer.
Wow.
There just was, it was just missing. It just didn't have a composer.
Interesting. So, how did you find out? Did you
have to, Googled it.
Oh.
And then it popped right up, it did last episode.
Get Out? No. No, not Get Out. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Do not mention that.
With Us?
No, it was not Us. It was...
I don't think it was last episode. I think it was two episodes ago.
I think it might have been Roma.
That's two episodes.
It was Roma.
Two episodes.
So it's funny that it was both foreign language films.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, so he's done a few other foreign films. Nothing else mainstream, nothing else nominated for anything. But yeah, it was just interesting that, again, he was not listed on IMDb as the composer.
Interesting. Maybe it's something to do with how they credit, you know, outside of American accreditation?
I have no idea.
I don't know. It's just interesting that both foreign films don't credit their composer. Anyway, I'm not mad about it.
Moving right along. Okay, Kelsey, you want to list off the cast for this film?
Sure.
Kelsey texted me when I sent her that we were going to do this trailer. And Kelsey was like, great, I love trying to pronounce Polish names. So I'm ready.
Oh, gosh. I am so sorry to everyone involved in this film. My deepest apologies. Joanna Kulig, Tomasz Kot, Boris Dziedzic, Agata Kulesia, Cedric Khan, Jean Balabar, Adam Wonowitz, Adam Ferenczi. So that's like the main cast, mm-hmm. and then there's just a bunch of other people that are still listed, but I don't feel as though they're that important.
They're gonna be big
characters. Like guard number one.
Oh, I don't think they need to be credited in our podcast.
I think we're okay.
I think so. All right.
Would you like to jump right into the main trailer talk?
I would. So, my first note was, oh, we're in black and white.
Yes. Yes. Which I love.
Yeah, it's interesting that also Roma is in black and white.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I was actually going to compare it to, like, the film a couple years ago, The Artist, I believe that won for Best Picture. And, again, like, not sarcastic.
You're
yeah,
like,
sure.
Sure.
Which I didn't even realize, so, which is really interesting to see that the Best Picture foreign film nominees are both in black and white.
Yeah.
It's a trend.
It is.
I thought the trailer started really loud. Like, it kind of, like, threw me off for a moment, especially contrasted with the black and white coloring. And I was like, oh, that's a really interesting way because it's, like, kind of like a switch on your sensories.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much what you're seeing, it's what you're hearing. So I feel like that's going to be really important in the film.
Right. The beginning of the trailer had a lot of writing, a lot of, like, blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
Which I was like,
yeah,
I don't need this. But the only thing that I'm glad that they did include was that it right at the beginning they said like best foreign language film. So at least you knew
exactly
like when she was singing in not English and what you were seeing, and what to expect from it. So I was like, we could have just started with that one so that you get like a good grounding of okay, not going to be in English and I won't be alarmed.
Right. Because especially. A lot of the trailer, you just hear her singing, and so you feel as though...
That's, like, the whole thing.
Right.
There's no dialogue.
It's all... Wait, what?
There's no dialogue in this trailer. It's just...
Oh, I thought you meant that in the film. I was like, wait, it's
you
a silent
like,
film? You
were like, fuck, what?
This changes my whole opinion of the movie.
You're like, damn it, I have to go back and rewrite notes.
No,
just the trailer.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, it was just music. It was just singing, and I think that... I agree with you, but I feel as though, again, a lot of the... They did this with Roma.
I know, it had no dialogue in it either.
And it had all the accolades in it and at the front, and I was just like, all right, we could save this for the end, but it's still going to be my same thing for Roma. I understand why they did it, because of the fact it's a foreign language film, as we know.
And they really need to boost it up for people to see it.
Exactly. I mean, but when we're watching this trailer, to me, the plot of what we're being told kind of falls flat for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ooh, a jazz singer, and she falls in love with this Soviet
guy.
He's in the choir for the dictator at the time. I do not remember his name.
Stalin.
Thank you. This is why I didn't go into history or politics.
Joseph Stalin.
Not a great guy. And I kind of, like, feel as though it's going to be a little, like, just, it's just what it is. It's not anything new, I think, or important. I can't read what you wrote.
My note is, Do you ever feel tired of hetero love stories?
Yeah, I mean, even as a cishet person, you know, woman, it was just felt like it could have been more.
I was like, okay, it's like going to be this love story that you can predict. It seems similar to other films, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't seem...
Doesn't seem like it's going to be anything new or innovative or excited or anything like that's going to really draw me to the film.
Exactly. I mean, for first trailer, it kind of just seems like, eh. Especially for something that's supposed to be like this grand film.
Right, right. You're getting nominated for
Best Picture. Sure. Like, this doesn't seem anything new to me.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Especially because it's like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, the artists are using silent film techniques, even though it's not a silent film. Or they're using the same techniques as other foreign films. It just seems like kind of like one of the, you know, like when you're like on Instagram and you always see like those trends and you just like see them over and over again. And then you're just like, why is everyone doing these trends? Can they just stop and do something different? That's kind of how I feel about it.
That was a good analogy.
Thank you. The only thing that did pique my interest was when they were going through, like, the flashes of, like, little scenes. Then the guy was, like, wearing this shirt or something, and he had a shaved head. And that snapped in my mind of the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And I was curious to make maybe, like, he survived the Holocaust. And now, because I know that this film takes in 1950s Russia, or Soviet Union, I feel like. So I'm wondering if it's kind of a story from the transitional period between the end of World War II and the beginning of the Cold War. Right, exactly. because it definitely takes place in the 50s, so.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that was like, oh, okay, so maybe it's more of a piece about this, about, you know, like, Judaism during, like, the turn of the mid-century, which I wish...
That
would be more exciting, I feel like, even though it kind of is abusive to this woman.
Not kind of.
Very much abusive to this woman.
But you know what would have helped that? And for us to have picked up on that and seen if that was actually going to happen or not? Some dialogue.
Yeah, maybe. Even if it was in Polish.
Right, but even if it was in Polish, we had subtitles. Like,
right.
It gave me the same feeling as Roma, where I was like, ooh, it looks really pretty, and visually it's appealing. However.
Yeah. You know, it's...
I'm not...
But I feel like Roma, though, at least has some more oomph to it.
The trailer.
The trailer, because it's more about this woman's struggle during this tumultuous time in Mexico.
No, I know, but I, like, still was like, you know, it's hard to not absorb a plot and, like, really...
But the thing is...
Feel like you're gonna...
I feel like this film has a plot. Like, I feel like they're leaving out a ton of information, whereas Roma, like, that's specifically what the movie is.
Yeah.
Like, there's specifically not supposed to be, like, a really concise
plot.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, obviously there is, but it's nothing like it's an underlying current of what it is. This is, like, I feel like they're not quite getting to the plot.
You're seeing all these snippets, but not really following an exact plot.
So I'm curious to know if it was, like, intentionally done because they couldn't reveal too much.
Yeah, I don't know.
To
me, it just feels very, like, similar in ways to other films, and that was not, like, sitting well with me. I was like, well...
It is what it is.
Yeah, but I did like the contrast of, like, the dark times and the behavior and the, like, bad shit under Stalin with, like, this light and airy kind of song. So that was nice.
That's what I wrote too.
Oh my god.
And we talked about contrast.
Me too.
Oh my god, I'm so proud.
I'm gonna cry. You fucking should be. I was writing this note. I was like, Kelsey's gonna be so proud. Be great.
This little film critic.
I'm turning into a film critic.
Oh my god, you're turning into a me.
Okay.
Yay.
And I liked the black and white style.
Yeah.
And it worked well with that contrast and with the costume design.
Yes.
Oh my god, I wrote a note about costume design. Are you so happy?
You're my daughter and I'm watching you perform a pageantry and I'm like an old southern white woman.
You're like, oh, look at her, she's doing so well. Thank you. I can say with 100% certainty that I've never been like referred to or equated to a daughter in a Southern beauty pageant. And I'm quite certain that you have never been accused of being the mom of a Southern girl in a beauty pageant.
Yeah.
That is me.
Why not? Yeah. It's all new experiences.
Really is tonight. Really is.
I agree with you with the jazz. I think it's a wonderful underlying noise that we're hearing. You know, I don't know if I said it before on the podcast. You've definitely heard this from me. I love when classical music kind of pairs with like something that's not.
We talked about that in Under the Silver Lake.
Okay, yeah.
Because remember, it was like the happy, like exciting song, and the Meg.
And the Meg.
When they were like,
oh yeah,
we're playing this happiness, like Beyonce, and then you see the fucking show. And I was like, I'm gonna die.
And I've definitely told you this while we were watching The Avengers, where Clint and is trying to like hack in and like fight Loki, where it's like the classical music compared with action scenes, where it's like the contrast of stuff. So like hearing the jazz music, which is contrasted with the dark undertones of what the film might actually be, is such an, it made it a lot more palatable.
Yeah, and I thought that really was what helped me kind of get through the trailer. Exactly. That and like the cinematography.
Yeah, the cinematography is wonderful from what I've seen.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe not in plot it will excel, but maybe in other aspects, visual and like technical aspects.
Yeah.
I feel like, and I think that's as to why Powell is like nominated for these, because of the fact that he's actually like excelling in these spots that we're seeing today.
Right.
Will you see this film?
No.
Yeah. I mean, I said like yes with like a heavy question mark.
Like a very bolded question.
Yeah, it's like, just, it's like, it's there. You can see it.
I do see it.
It's like, yes. I mean, I feel like I'd want to see it just because of the technical aspects, not so much of the plot.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean, I agree with you.
I just, like,
it just doesn't seem like something you would see.
Yeah, no.
No.
If it was a girl.
Right. And I think
if it was two girls.
No, I agree.
Yeah, I would see this film. I
feel like if it was like Disobedience plus Cold War, it'd be amazing.
Your face. Rachel Weisz better win an award.
You will hear from Marianne.
Let me just tell you about how excited I am every time Rachel Weisz is like, people are like, oh, how do you love, like, playing, like, a lesbian character? And she's like, I love it so much, blah, 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 blah. And she goes on and you're just like,
tell me more, Rachel.
Tell me more, Rachel.
Great.
Anything else about Cold War?
No, that's about it from me. I voiced all my complaints about the trailer.
Oh. And your some and good some notes.
And good note. I have a healthy balance.
Yeah.
Ish.
Not really. I would say yes.
A big leaning on criticism.
Then compliments, but it's okay.
You know what? We all have our vices. That's not right.
You were like, wrong situation.
Wrong one.
Wrong thing. Anyway,
so we're going to take a break.
Yeah, a small break, and then come back and talk about
Can You Ever Forgive Me with starring Melissa McCarthy. I'm so excited.
Me? Oh my god, yay. Okay. All right, we'll be right back.
And welcome back to the episode of Too Many Trailers. We're going to be talking about the trailer for the nominated film for Best Actress. I think Best Supporting Actor, I want to say. And I believe they have one more nomination?
They have three.
Three, yes. Not sure what the third one was.
Neither do I. I just have three check marks.
Great.
Let's do it.
So as far as I know, it's not. Marianne just threw the paper in the air.
Worthless.
Yeah. But at least we know that Melissa McCarthy is nominated for Best Actress. I think this is her second nomination. Her first one being Supporting Actress for Bridesmaids. Whoop whoop. And guess you don't like that movie.
I'll talk about my Melissa McCarthy feelings.
Well, is it because of Gilmore Girls or?
Let's.
Well, is that for off air?
No, like we can go into that when we. Do you want me to talk about it now?
I mean, since we're on the subject.
No, you know what? It relates more to the plot of this
movie. Okay, never mind. And the second nomination is, again, Best Supporting Actor for Richard E. Grant.
Who has 128 acting credits on IMDb, by the way.
Excuse me, Miss Tornado.
Sorry. I'll wait until we talk about them in the cast.
Okay. So the director, let's do the behind the trailer facts. The director is Marielle Heller. The writers are Nicole Holofcener. Nope.
Holofcener.
Holofcener. Thank you. And Jeff Whitty.
Yes. This is Jeff Whitty's first writing credit.
Really? Damn. Yeah.
And Nicole Holofcener's done some other small films. Mm-hmm. And then Marielle Heller wrote and directed Diary of a Teenage Girl.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The composer for this film is Nate Heller. So related to
Marielle.
And I did mean to look up. I don't know if they're husband and wife, brother and sister, or what.
They're related in some form or matter.
Some way. he did the composing also for Diary of a Teenage Girl. And, he's going to be the composer for the new, like, biodrama about Mr. Rogers. That's going to come out starring Tom Rogers.
Wait, is this with the Tom Hanks?
Yeah, starring Tom Hanks.
Okay, I knew about that. I was like, biodrama.
But I didn't want to say, like, documentary because, like, it's that just happened.
It was a
documentary. This is, like, a biodrama.
It's a dramatization on his life.
A biodrama.
Sure.
It's a biographical drama.
Literally never heard that description.
I made it up! That's why. But it's good.
Yeah.
It's a good genre.
It captured, you know what? Slice of life, biodrama.
Exactly.
Step on it, Netflix.
Come on.
Come on. Come on, Netflix. Get on the bandwagon. Oh my god. Was it worth it? No.
All right,
the cast.
Yes.
We have Melissa McCarthy. We have Richard E. Grant.
Can I give you my note on how you all might know Richard E. Grant, besides his 128 acting credits? He was in a film that was released in, I believe, 1998.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wonderful film.
It should have won an Oscar.
Well written, well directed, the cinematography was fabulous.
It had 8 themes going on, we all loved it.
It was great, and it's a little film called Spice World.
Oh, what a fucking masterpiece of a film.
It's such a great film. He played the band's, like, manager.
Oh my god.
Yep.
Oh my god.
You're welcome.
I love it.
So, pretty great. the cinematography was wonderful. I don't know if everybody else remembers the scene of the bus going over the drawbridge I think they made out of fucking
It was literally, clay. It was a toy car.
It looked like a claymation.
It was literally a toy, like, van going over, like, a toy bridge.
I know. It was amazing. It was the best thing that's ever happened to me. He played, his actual character's name was Clifford.
Yep. Clifford the manager.
I can't.
Okay.
Moving right along.
We have Dolly Wells. We have Ben Falcone, who is Melissa McCarthy's husband. We have...
What?
Yeah. He's in, like, all of the films. Like, they produce together. And they're married. Did you not know this?
Didn't know it.
I have watched The Bridesmaids. Behind the scenes, way too much.
I'm just looking at the pictures of him right now. Was he in Bridesmaids?
Yeah, he played...
Was he the FBI agent that she was trying to... Air Marshal!
Yeah.
Yes! Oh my god, I didn't know that they were married.
Yeah. They're in a lot of films together because they're, like, producing partners.
He was in Gilmore Girls. That's probably how they met.
Mm-hmm. Don't ask me. I really don't know anything about Gilmore Girls.
I can show you the way.
Oh, I'm okay.
No, it's such a good show.
Moving right along.
We'll come back to that later.
We have Gregory Korostyshevsky. First time. Jane Curtin, Steven Spinella, Christian Navarro, Pan Bandu, Eric LeRae, Harvey, Brandon Scott Jones, Shane Dillon, Rosa L. Colon, Anna Devere Smith, and Mark Evan Jackson, who you would probably know from Brooklyn Nine-Nine as the Captain Holt's husband.
Yep.
Yep. And he's also in The Good Place. And people who listen to podcasts probably know him as Sparks Nevada from The Thrilling Adventure Hour, which I really enjoyed.
It's great. So yeah, really good cast.
Really top-notch, I feel like.
Big fan.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to hear my... No, we'll save my Melissa McCarthy feelings for probably closer to the end.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
No, actually, it's my first note.
Okay, let's jump right in.
So my first note is Melissa McCarthy in a non-stereotypical comedy. I'm so excited.
I am honestly...
Praise the Lord. She's
been in a few non-stereotypical comedy roles as well, but I feel as though they weren't at this level.
Not... as many as she should.
She deserves. Be. Exactly.
Jesus.
I feel like she is a phenomenal actress. She was severely underlooked a lot of the times. I feel like she gets typecasted into these, like,
yes.
fat white woman.
Funny.
White woman
roles.
Yeah.
Like Rebel Wilson.
And,
I hate it with a burning passion so much, and she has such a range.
She does.
And if you watch her in Gilmore Girls,
but I feel
you'll
like...
see that she has a really good range. And I just feel like in Gilmore Girls, she was like the funny or like kind of
depth,
comedy relief.
Though.
But she did. She had a lot of depth. Nobody was... So like I remember her acting from that, and that was so great.
Mm-hmm.
And like I loved it, and I loved everything about Suki, and I love her like... what she did with that character over the 7 years, and it was wonderful. But I really did not enjoy when I saw her in Bridesmaids, because I was like, oh, she can do so much more. She could do so much more, and you're not giving her more to do. And I was so upset. And then she was like typecasted into every other
right.
freaking movie on the planet as this exact same role. And I was like, that's great that you're putting her in comedy, and that's wonderful. But you're doing all these things with her character that suck every damn time. And I was I'm so mad. That's why I literally can't watch movies that are supposed to be funny with her in them, because then it just pisses me off.
Did you see Spy at all?
I don't know if we were together when you made me watch a little bit of Spy. I watched like the first hour of it.
Oh no, I would have made you sit through the whole thing.
No, I don't think you were feeling well.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. But something happened where I was starting to watch. I watched like half and I was like, can I be done?
I mean, I think that was probably like the start of her trying to get out of those roles, because Spy had a little bit more, at least like she was an action star, blah, blah, blah. And I thought,
it was a little better.
It was a little better.
Still.
Understandable. But I'm really glad she's finally getting into these roles, and she got nominated out of it. I think this is, and this trailer definitely shows that she's a fucking amazing actress in it.
Right!
She kills it.
Like, there are good moments of comedy and things throughout this film that she's doing and things like that, but it's not just this, like, stupid comedy shit.
Right. It might be called St. Vincent, I'm not sure. It's with Bill Murray. And I think she's in it. It's one of her more serious roles. I mean, it's still like quote unquote like a funny character, but it has depth. It has more like grounded type of role. And I think that was, it was a very, very good movie, and she did a great performance. I think it was definitely overlooked.
I think that's the end of my rant.
You good?
Yeah, I feel better now.
Okay, good. I'm glad. I'm glad it was more of a positive speech, honestly.
No, yeah, like, I know. You were like, oh God, do you hate Melissa McCarthy?
I was like, please don't tell me you hate Melissa McCarthy, because I love her.
I love her. I just hate that they put her in stupid roles.
Right.
Like, when they made that show, like, Mike and Molly, I was like, that's fine.
Right.
But also.
Right. It's also, it's like, ooh, you're also continuing to typecast her into these roles. I mean, I understand money is money, but it's also, it's like,
come on.
But it's also... management. It's also the roles that she
it's
chooses.
Not yeah it's yeah I know, but I'm just like,
no, I understand what you mean. Just like that.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. actually how I feel a lot of the time. All right, Do you want to hear my second note?
Yes. It's I've never so seen you funny. So, like, gung-ho about this.
When I was writing my notes for this, I was like, Kelsey's going to be so happy.
I am.
Because I was really into this.
I'm glad.
So after she goes and tries to sell her book at the bookstore, and she's like, I'm broke, all this other stuff, my cat's sick. I was like, your cat? Are you gay?
I mean, probably in this film. I know it's based off a true story. I'm not sure. Is Lee Israel?
I don't know.
Oh.
I will have to look it up.
I do like the when we're in the bookstore and she's saying, like, my books and everything, blah, blah, blah. I do like how the trailer kind of does just set, automatically, like, set you up. It just kicks off the plot. It doesn't leave anything, you know, to be hidden. It kind of understands that this is a quick-thinking type of film. Mm-hmm. And I do love that the trailer is a fast trailer.
Yeah. And that opening, like you were saying, so was, like, a good, catchy, comedic opening mm-hmm. when the, like, cashier was like, yeah, your books are over there. And it's, like, the last chance, 75% off table. And she was like,
damn it. And I think it's really, it, you know, you go into all these, like, twists and turns about the thing, and I think it's really about, like, the story of how the ways people try to get out of things, you know, try to kind of maneuver their way out. I mean, but I think that's another reason why the quickness of the trailer works, because it's just maybe it's a fastly paced things that happen. They happen quickly, they kind of tumble, they snowball, a boulder starts mm-hmm. to keep rolling in the forest, and you try to avoid it, you know.
It's a slippery slope.
Exactly.
I really like the premise of the film.
Oh, it's such an interesting premise.
Like, the plot. I was like, wow, something with a different plot. This is so great. Like, especially after, like, because I watched Cold War first and then this, and it was just so, I was so happy. I was just like, wow, something different, something exciting, something, like, new, and then, like, in comparison to how, like, for Cold War, we were like, wow, it's the same plot that we see all the time, blah, blah, blah. So this was so exciting.
I agree. Especially because it's, like, kind of, it's in a period of New York that you don't quite see. I feel like late 80s, early 90s, but not, like, the drug-induced.
Rent.
Exactly.
But not Rent.
Not Rent, you know. You're not seeing, like, the pain or, like, the tortured artist, you know, type of thing. You're just seeing, like, people.
Yeah, and it's kind of good because you really do from that time period where it was, like, the AIDS crisis and things like that. So you really get, like, the end of the spectrum of people living with AIDS, and then you have, like, people generally from that
autonomy.
At the opposite end of the spectrum.
Right, where they're doing cocaine all the time and partying and, like, American Psycho type of thing.
Exactly.
You know?
So this is, like, a good, like, run-of-the-mill, like, similar to how we felt about the movie Puzzle, I feel
yes,
like.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it was, like, an average person in an average family in an average setting.
In Connecticut.
Whoops.
But, no, I mean, it's Bridgeport, Connecticut, so there's a different socioeconomic status there.
Right, absolutely.
But,
Bridgeport, like, the Fairfield County area of Connecticut is totally different than the farmland area of Connecticut that some people associate Connecticut.
Right, so it's, but anyway. I digress. But, you know, it's an interesting time period. Again, it's just, we don't see, and I feel like that also makes it new. It makes it more interesting because of the fact that, you know, as much as, you know, a lot of people say, you know, middle class stories are
overtold.
I feel like this one, because it has an edge to it,
right?
It kind of has a little bit more leaning towards what the story is actually to be about. You know, it kind of, like, can turn over into something messy. It can turn over. I mean, granted, like, she couldn't pay her rent. She was a struggling writer, but I mean, you have that trope of the struggling artist,
right?
But it's not
to the extreme of, like,
it's not theatric.
Right.
So, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah. And it's interesting that it's based on a true story, and it'll be interesting to see, like, how much of it is actually true.
Right.
Like, how much did the movie really digress from the actual, the actual truth?
Exactly. Like, we know that, you know, she did plead guilty to all of this. You know, she did literally do copyrighted material and make, like, fake letters, and this actually happened. But, you know, we can... It will probably end up something like Colette, where at the end of the film, wistful eyes for Colette, where there might be, like, little blurbs about, like, what actually happened.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, Lee Israel served her terms. Or
blah,
whatever.
Blah, 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 blah.
Or paid her dues.
Yeah. Oh, also, this film was really good, like the trailer, because it was my personal perfect amount of, like, thriller. Because in the middle, as in, i.e., it has a tiny bit of thrill, but that's it. Because, like, right. the friend at one point is, like, trying to, like,
get her money, as well as the FBI is coming for her.
Yeah, and it was, like the middle, there was, like, a part, like, a three-quarters of the way in that was, like, a little bit dark and scary, and I was like, if this turns into a horror trailer, I'm gonna lose my shit.
I'm gonna cut Kelsey.
I was like, I'm gonna kill her for making me watch this shit. But, so I was like, oh, that's, like, that's like, a good, like, realistic amount. That's not them over-dramatizing it. It's just, like, a realistic amount of, like...
It turns a humorous situation into, like, a mess, you know, which I really enjoyed seeing.
Right, but it's not so big of a mess...
That it's uncontrollable.
Right, and it's not going to be so big of a mess that it turns into a thriller movie. It's going to be it's a mess like that they are able to still insert some comedy into and stuff like that.
It's not like she, like, slits the throat of her friend, you know? Sorry, Jesus. That was really dark.
Very specific. I was going to say it doesn't turn into us, but okay.
I mean, that's still murder, but I feel like it kind of holds it back. It keeps it grounded, and you know, because the story is a grounded story, even though it's kind of little out there.
Yeah.
McCarthy looks fucking amazing in this. I'm just gonna say it again. I think she invokes a lot of emotion at the right times. Granted, maybe that's just the editing. Who knows? But
she's fabulous.
She's phenomenal. I'm really sad I didn't see this in theaters.
I know. Watching this, I was like, how did I hear about this? What is this? This is about books. I like books.
This is the thing I choose to like. I was kind of like, oh, like, whatever, it's just another McCarthy film, it's just going to be something of that. I didn't know it was going to be, like, this good of a film that I haven't seen yet, but now I really want to see, and I'm sad I didn't get to see it in theaters, because I feel like it would have been great in theaters.
In theaters, I agree. Yeah. My other last note, though, is that I loved the typewriter sound effects.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
And at the end, like, the coordination of the typewriter sound effects with the writing.
So good.
So good for, like, the end credit where it said, like, the title of the film.
Yeah.
Like, in the end, it was like can you ever... forgive me? But there was, like tap, tap, stop, tap. And then it was, like, tap, tap, tap. And then you heard the ching.
Yeah. Tap, tap, tap. I think it's
so good.
Really, like, top-notch from literally everyone there.
Yeah. Editing team, on
A+.
Point.
I really hope they win.
Well done. Nate Heller? Good job. I have faith in you to compose the soundtrack for the Mr. Rogers bio drama.
You earned my love. So, would you see this, like...
I wish we had seen this in theaters.
I agree. Would you watch it, like, on Netflix, VOD?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Same.
Great
discussions.
I know.
Oh, my God.
We are on top
Just
of it.
Just, like, fire.
Straight fire. All right. Should we do a little business?
Let's do a little business.
So if you have feelings about Cold War or Can You Ever Forgive Me or about the Oscars or the Oscar nominees, or like, do you have feelings on movies that should have been nominated or that shouldn't have gotten some of the nominations that they got, things like that, we want to hear all about it.
Please.
So tweet at us, leave a comment on our Instagram page or on Facebook. All of those platforms are at Too Many Trailers. We will also be live watching and live tweeting the Oscars next Sunday, February 24th.
This upcoming Sunday as of the recording.
As of
posting.
So we're really looking forward to that and like interacting with everyone. Ooh. And just seeing everyone else's reactions.
If you have any longer thoughts, like if you want to have, give us information if
Do you have real. Similar feelings about me to Melissa McCarthy?
Or do you have feelings about Cold War that you didn't, you know, that we didn't discuss?
Yeah, or Kelsey was going to say.
If Lee Israel is part of the LGBTQIA community
Please
that we don't
Please tell
know
me about. I need to know.
We need to know.
I need to know for personal reasons.
You can always email us at toomanytrailers@gmail.com. That's TWOManyTrailers@gmail.com. Rate, subscribe on iTunes.
On Anchor.
On Anchor, Overcast. This is where you can hear episodes first and not forget to listen.
Yeah, because especially this month when we have so many bonus episodes, it won't be an every other week. It'll be like an every week
oh my God,
kind of thing. And then the last day also of the month. And it's going to be a lot of
posting, so definitely subscribe because you want to keep...
keep listening.
Yeah, keep listening and keep posted.
Yeah, we love it. All right, well, so, have a great viewing of the Oscars.
Yeah, enjoy yourself. Make a bingo card. We'll make post our bingo card.
Let's post our ballots.
Our ballots.
Let's post our ballots and our bingo card,
and then you guys can kind of play along.
Which would be fun.
It'll be so exciting.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, well, until our next episode, bonus or regular otherwise, catch you then. Bye.
Bye.